Turning in your Bible to Psalms 105, and we're reading beginning at verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. And there in Psalms 105, verses 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, wrap up many, many years of Joseph's life and teach us how Joseph won in life. The Bible is the greatest success book in the world. Many of you have heard me give the illustration. When I first was in the early days of my ministry, I wanted to help people. I'd heard a lot of wonderful things. I'd also heard a lot of negativism. And, they have that book of the month thing. I know they still have that, but that was available. And I don't know, I was somewhere and I saw a title that fascinated me. So I sent for that. And then I just started receiving a book a month. And it was about success and how to be successful in life, how to have a good attitude, and how to literally cooperate with changes in your life that would draw people to you, not push them away. And there were just a variety of titles, and I suppose that went on for about 2 years. And I didn't forsake the Word of God. I was just hungry to find out how people can be successful in life. And you ought to have the same desire. We all ought to have a desire to do things better than whatever we're doing now. But one day, especially as I was reading and making a special study in the life of the Apostle Paul, it dawned on me that every workable, genuine, well-known among those who have achieved in life, every principle of success was rooted in the Word of God. And if it's not rooted in the Word of God, you don't want it. You don't want to know how to cheat people. You don't want to know how to do something illegal. You don't want to know how to live on the edge if it's not legal or if it's not right with God. But it just dawned on me, and it was such a thrill in my heart. In fact, it was one of the authors that was making many references to the Apostle Paul. And it dawned on me that the Apostle Paul was the most positive thinker, believer, living in life. Paul was one of the most positive men that ever lived. And so I want to just share some things from my heart tonight about how Joseph won in life. You're going to live life whether you like it or not. You might as well make the best out of it. And you might as well let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Especially notice that verse. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The same word, the same promises, the same incentives of God that challenged his heart, that you can be all you can possibly be, that you can be a blessing to yourself, that you can be a blessing to others. Those very truths were an oft frustration if he would let it be. Some days the promises of God leap from the pages. And other days it seemed like they just stand up and slap you on both cheeks. And it's almost like you hear a voice. I know that's real, but I can't get there from here. And of course that's a lie of Satan. You're never too old to learn. And you're never too young to learn. You see, one of the great secrets of Joseph's life was that he made a lot of good choices. And life is all about choices. Making the right choices. But you see, Joseph made good choices. Now let's go back to Joseph for a moment. You want to talk about dysfunctional? You want to talk about dysfunctional families? Joseph's testimony was, my own brothers tried to kill me, and if it hadn't been for two of them that had mercy and grace on me, I would have been dead. My own family, my own brothers put me in a pit and were going to leave me until they saw some slave traders coming by. And my own family, my own flesh and blood, my own brothers sold me as a slave and then turned around and went back home. You want to talk about dysfunctional? What if that was your testimony? Dear Lord, you would have been to every one of our staff people. A few years ago, we had to kind of start getting some continuity because there's certain folks that would come in. If they didn't like what I'd say, they'd go to the next one. If they didn't like what they said, they'd go to the next one. And we found that some folks were making all the rounds telling the same story, seeing if they could get a different angle from one of the staff. And we were all giving the same answer because the Word of God was very plain. And so they didn't like that answer, so they went to the next one. What if you talk about dysfunctional, you want to talk about a rough background? No matter what kind of family. Well, Joseph, I thought you had a wonderful family. Let me tell you about my family. I'm going to tell you. Let's go behind the scenes and let me tell you about my brothers. My brothers were going to kill me. And then they had mercy on me and sold me to a slave. To foreigners coming through, and turned right around and went back home and told the biggest, fattest lie they could to their father and lived with that terrible thing. How did they live with it? Somehow they managed. Well, one more. Let me throw another one in here. I don't know why the little things like this just come to my mind. You want to talk about dysfunctional? What do you think Isaac's take could have been? As he went down to the Texas board of whatever. And they said, do you have a mistreatment to report? Mistreatment, man. My father had a dagger. Put me on an altar. Was going to... the 9-11, I mean, they'd have the whole Texas Rangers and the National Guard. And I mean, everyone would, let's go get that terrible father. He's not a fit father. Yet he was the father of faith. Some strange things in the Bible. You want to talk about dysfunctional? But you don't know how weird my parents were. God used them to get you here. But I don't even know who my father is. God used somebody to get you here. But I don't know who my real mother is. I'm not making fun or light of this. But I mean, somewhere we've got to put the axe at the root of the tree. Life is where we are tonight. Life is not a bowl of cherries of what we wanted it to be, wished it had been, and everything letter perfect. Life is where we are tonight. And the rest of your life is the decisions that you're willing to make according to God's Word where you are right now. And take Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, I know some things were different back there. Thank God some things were different. But, I mean, the story's there. And, in fact, the Bible gives us enough evidence to incriminate Abraham if that indeed had happened. Of course, the Bible tells us about it. Think about it. That would have been intriguing for an attorney's mind, I would imagine. And, you know, you can just go through some other things in the Word of God. There were a lot of dysfunctional situations, a lot of dysfunctional folks. Now, you can either camp on that and let it ruin the rest of your life, or you can say, I really wish that hadn't been. I wish I didn't have that memory. I just wish things... But I tell you what, I'm going to put that under the blood. I'm going to put it in the hands of God, and I'm going to take the promises of God, and whatever the past has been, if it's a past marriage or if it's a past... relationship gone sour, if it's disappointments in children or grandchildren, whatever it is, life is tough. Life's not all smooth and fluffy. Life is tough. And it's been so well said, tough times don't last. But tough people do. And you can go forward in the things of God. Get a hold of that verse where the Apostle Paul said, the things that have happened to me have turned rather to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. How did Joseph make it? Until the time that his word came. How many feel like you have some kind of a word in you that has a destiny? I wonder how many tonight feel like you have. I do. And if you don't, well, praise God. I thank you for being honest with me. But the Bible said until the time that his word came, whether it was a word in his spirit, a true word that had been given to him, the word of the Lord tried him. The same promise that has the promise, if I could say it like that, the same word that has the promise of blessing in your life, that same word will look like it's just going to stretch you beyond measure before it manifests. Until the time that his word came. The time. Times and seasons. Seems like several of us have been talking about times and seasons. How did Joseph not only survive, but how did he overcome? Here's something that you have to take it the way God gives it. But you know, there had to be a separation before there could be a manifestation. There was something about home that Joseph could have never accomplished. God sent him ahead of the famine. God sent Joseph ahead to get ready. And God has sent many of us ahead to get ready. I look at the path that God has called me to walk many times. And I don't even care to get into it any further than just making this reference. I look like I've led a pretty normal life to some of you, but I have led a life that's been on the edge in more ways than I could ever articulate. God has led me in some very unique, different, strange, far out, on the outer limits, on the cutting edge, in ways that I never intended to be. But now I've seen the last few years how that I see things coming in. I see things coming together. I'm seeing God do things. I thought, well, why did God lead me here? Why did God lead me there? Why did God let me associate? What? And then nothing really came of that for a while. And then I was with this and I was really, and then nothing really came of that after. You see, God has a way of putting you at the right place at the right time. God has a way of putting you at the right place at the right time. You can beat that door until your knuckles are bloody, and that door will not open. But when you start saying, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding, in all of my ways I acknowledge Him, God will direct your paths. I think of several times, don't have time to get into that because I didn't intend to in this particular message, but how that God just all of a sudden, folks, you need to live ready. I said you need to live ready. Live ready. Live ready in your prayer life. Live ready starting every day with some word. You don't know who God's going to introduce you to tomorrow. You don't know the door of opportunity that may open and not reopen for another given period of time. You don't know the ways that God will stretch you. Our staff doesn't know anything about a sleepy situation. Because, I mean, we live pedal to the metal around here. But I'm going to tell you, when you live some of the years that I have lived in, it seemed like nothing was happening. Oh, it was happening. I know it was happening. But you know about the thrills and the chills and seeing a lot of the things we see around here? No, honey, it was raw faith in God. I knew I was doing what God called me to do. And until God shows me something else, I'm going to be right here. Here I stand, I can do no other. But see, God knew my address. God knew my capabilities. God knew how far to push me out and then pull me back in. God knew how to expose me to certain things, but not too much. Because the ministry can be a real shock if you're not ready. It looks so wonderful, but unless you're ready for what God leads you into, You see, God, he'll lead you out a little bit and pull you back in. Lead you out a little bit and pull you back in. The mistake that some people make is just running out and just think, man, this is it. And just run. And you get ahead of God. There's nothing any sweeter than being at the right place at the right time. I'd rather be where God wants me to be. I'd rather do what God wants me to do. I'd rather let God be my travel agent. I'd rather let God be my tutor. I mean, God uses people, but I mean, I'd rather do it God's way. We used to sing, let go and let God have his wonderful way. If some of our staff knew how well they have it in this church, they'd kiss the ground they walk on. Amen. I mean, there's folks that have golden opportunities at their fingertips. And brother, we're on the threshold. This thing's gonna start moving forward in a different way. It may not happen overnight, but we're believing and positioning and doing some things that we know God is dealing with us about. But you know, even the slow days with Jesus are wonderful. The slow days are preparation days. And I tell young ministers, when things are slower, you better enjoy it. Because there'll be a day, the more your ministry increases, the more the anointing, the more opportunities, the more open doors. Today I have to be very selective to try to know what to do that God's called me to do. Many open doors, but every door is not for me to enter, and everything is not for me to do. And today, more doors. I'm just amazed at the last few weeks. God's doing some things that I've said. It's kind of sit down in a chair again and say, Lord, what in the world are you up to? What's going on here? Get ready. Don't buy a rocking chair just to sit and rock. Hey, amen. Get yourself a Holy Ghost chair. And be ready to move with God. So often there has to be separation before we can see manifestation. The Word tried him until its time came. Now looking at Joseph's life, he made the right attitude choices. And your attitude determines the altitude that you fly. Inside of you there's a little attitude switch that can say, fire from heaven on them, Lord. I had to put up with that. Glory to God. If anybody had a right to just come totally unglued, it was Joseph. They didn't treat him right. It wasn't this world system. It was his own family. But he made the right choice in attitude. If you can survive the pit, one day we'll visit you in the palace. If you can survive the pit, if you can survive being a slave, I'm just a servant, that's all I am. We're all servants. Every position in the ministry is a servant's position. Jesus was a servant. I do servant's work in a different way today. Don't have time to do some things like I used to do. But there's not one thing around a church that this preacher hasn't done. Everything from cleaning 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th John. Never thought I'd be in a church that had 26 Johns. Unthinkable. Man, we was doing good to keep up with 4 back then. Oh, are you listening to me? So you want to be used by God. Brother Nichols, I want a word. I want God to change me in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and make a knight in shining armor. And I'll zap everybody that gets in my path, and I'll have more money than I know what to do with. And overnight, I'm... No. You wouldn't know what to do with it. You might for 48 hours, but... See, Joseph made the right attitude choice. That regardless of what's happened to me, I'm going on with my life. I don't understand why my brothers did that. I don't understand how everything turned out like it did. And then I tried to do now here's the one that'll grab you. He kept on making the right choices when it seemed to be going against him. But I thought if you obeyed the word, you would never have a problem. Well, that's wrong to begin with. I did the right thing. I told the truth. I did the right thing. I work with others that don't do the right thing. I did the right thing. Watch that self-righteousness now. I did the right thing and I wound back up in prison. I told the truth. He made the right attitude choices. He made the right moral choices. I want to say that again. He made the right moral choices. It's never wrong to do right. It's never right to do wrong. And whether you're in ministry or laity or wherever you are, we live in a world that is saturated with moral temptation. Right? Also, he made the right God choices. He made choices that were right because God said it was right. And isn't it amazing how many choices God calls you to make that the five senses scream, foul, foul, foul. The senses rebel and the senses say, God doesn't want me to have any fun. God's giving me the short end of the stick. Everyone, there was a time in my young life, it looked like everybody was being promoted but me. Everybody was being promoted but me. And that wasn't sour grapes, that was the truth. And God had me in training for much more than a quick promotion. God had me in training for much more than just going with a famous ministry that's going to flame up and flame out. Some of you think, oh, if I could just be with a great ministry. Honey, you couldn't handle it. It's work anywhere you go. It's people anywhere you go. It's opportunities anywhere you go. I don't care where it is. Los Angeles, California, New York. Wherever you go. It's people and opportunities. He made the right God choices. He chose what pleased God. You know, there's a good feeling you have at the end of the day when if your flesh doesn't feel good and you feel cheated and you feel like everybody got, you know, all the perks, but you say, I did what pleased God, and that's all that matters. Because when it's all said and done, it's going to come back to pleasing God. That's what it's all about. It's not pleasing self. It's not satisfying your flesh. It's not ego trip. It's God. I'm always fascinated with people in the ministry, whether they be lay people or church members or members. I'm just so thankful for those that just keep on doing the right thing and they don't have to have a lot of whatever. They just keep on doing what God told them last. Just keep on believing God. Amen. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm telling you, be not weary in well-doing. In due season, in God's season, you're going to reap. Just keep on doing the right thing. He chose to forgive. You remember there came a day in Joseph's life when he said, you know, Satan meant it for harm, but God turned it for good. In essence, that's what he was able to say to the brothers. And you know, some people would have never forgiven those crazy brothers. I mean, some people, oh, I got you now. Now you find out what prison's all. You will never see the light of day again. Lock them up. No, he wept. His heart was touched. He was broken because he realized that God sent him before and used those crazy brothers to set Joseph up to be the second highest ruler in all of Egypt. And I'm telling you tonight, if you'll just keep your faith right and keep your heart right and just keep moving in the right direction, God's setting you up. God is setting you up. God is setting you up for good things. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. So he chose forgiveness. You say, well, yeah, but by this time he has so much he did it again. No, thanks. That thing could have eaten him up alive. I mean, the moment he had that whole family in his hands, he could have said, you think you know what hurt is? Don't you know the hurt I've gone through? Don't you know the loneliness I've gone? Don't you know what I've... Now let me show you. No. He had to weep because his heart was so tender and so broken. After all he had been through, there was love and forgiveness in his heart. Brother, that's God. Two more. He gave God all the glory. Joseph, you sure are a quick learner, boy. You're sharp. You're an astute politician. I mean, Joseph, you have really handled yourself wisely. Well, there's a truth to that, too. We do cooperate with God. But you know, he was ready to give God all glory and all praise. Because everything he'd been through just set him up to be in a position that when the famine came, Joseph was able to feed those that were hungry. Joseph was able to bless those that needed help. Joseph was in a position that he would have never been in had he not gone through the things that he went through. Are you learning something from God's word? Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. There could have been days when Joseph said, I know I have a word from God, but it's just not fair the way things are happening. Hey, just... none of your business. Just drop it. Just put it in God's hands. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you with my mind, my body, my spirit, my life, my family, my present, my future. Takes all the pressure off. And there's one final one I want to give you, talking about Joseph, how he won in life. He refused to quit. He absolutely refused to quit. If there was ever a man that had some wonderful opportunities to quit, it was Joseph. I see people that have had a silver spoon in their mouth, so to speak, most of their life, and still just can't make it. They can't get it together. They can't get their attitude together. Joseph, I mean, before the brothers ever came on the scene, before any of this ever happened, Joseph refused to quit. He could have quit in the pit. Could have quit in the palace. He could have quit time after time. But Joseph just refused to quit. I love this man. Oh, I love this man. Until the time that his word came. Until the time that his promise manifested. Until the time that God's word for him came to pass. The word of the Lord tried him. But he just kept on keeping on. He just kept on believing God. He just kept on putting his faith on the line. And God brought him through. Oh, it's time to praise God. It's time to embrace that understanding that the Apostle Paul said, who in the New Testament went through every conceivable thing. Do you realize that Paul the Apostle was beaten with rods 5 times like Jesus was beaten 1 time? It's in the Corinthian letter. 5 times suffered I 40 stripes, save one. Think about that. I mean, not one shipwreck, but 3 times his ship went down. But God let Paul be spared and saved. Most of Paul's life was not in the Holiday Inn or Hilton or Hyatt. Most of Paul's ministry life was spent in the Word of God working on those parchments. So much of the New Testament was written when the man was in prison. Now you wouldn't choose that, and neither would I. That would not be our first choice. And he was not in prison for doing the wrong thing. He was in prison for doing the right thing. That's the part that'll grab you. Now, if you know you've done something, why, you just take what you have taken going down the road. But when you just know that you've done what is right, you put it in God's hands. So as we look at Joseph, Joseph not only survived, but Joseph became an overcomer that is an inspiration to us until this very moment. And so often there had to be separation before there can be manifestation. It's amazing how God gets rid of some of your flaky friends so you can go on. I mean, I had a friend taken away from, I mean, he chose to go away. I mean, I loved that guy. He was an inspiration to me. I could give you a chapter in the Bible that changed my life that God used him to give me when I was back in Bible college. And I'm telling you, it broke my heart when God took that man out of my life. And he fell and he got into some other things, and I think he's come back to the Lord now. But you talk about hurt, man. I mean, when you've preached with somebody, you've traveled with them, you've been, you know, and you're just young in your walk and so on, and God's used them to be an inspiration to you, and then they get off the track and go flaky and goofy. That's tough. Of course, I've seen a lot of times since then, but I mean, that was one of my early experiences, and that was hard for me to deal with. But you know, Paul said on one occasion, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. Praise God. God wants you to remember that greater than all your friends standing with you and all the things of life, to have him with you. We used to sing, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me wherever I be if he is there. But I get lonely. I'd rather be lonely serving Jesus than be lost in a crowd of flesh and carnality and pride and rebellion and strife and all this stuff some people just get into. Hey, I'd rather be lonely and walk with Jesus, because you're really not. Best friend you'll ever have is Jesus. There's always going to be some loneliness in anyone's life that serves the Lord. No matter how precious people are in your life, there's a part of your life that's going to be a lonely walk. Only Jesus is going to understand it. Don't get bent out of shape. No matter how wonderful a husband or a wife you have, there's still a lonely walk. I mean, some of you singers are saying, boy, if I could just get married. And I hope in God's time that you find that. But I'm going to tell you, rather than trying to spend the rest of your life making somebody happy that can't be made happy, that the last three haven't made happy, man, I'd rather have some lonely days and walk with Jesus. If it had to be that way. If it had to be that way. And it doesn't have to be that way. How did Joseph make it? Just like you're going to make it. Just like you are making it. Just like we are making it. You see, God's getting us ready for greater things. And he's not sending the angels to prop up your pillow, fluff up your bed, pamper your carnality, applaud your flakiness, agree with your God told me so's that are... God's getting us ready, folks. God's getting us ready. God's getting us ready. God's getting us ready. Oh, God is getting us ready for greater things. Some of you, you've hung in there. You've held steady. So many of you have. The majority of this audience that I know anything about. You've hung in there. No matter what your age is, young or old or retired or whatever. But there's one thing I've learned. Just give me my Bible and give me Jesus, and I'll come through. Just give me a promise of God. A chapter would be wonderful. One verse will do it. When all of hell seems to break loose, just shout the shout of victory. Be exceedingly glad. Don't be a little bit glad. Just be exceedingly glad. If Paul could shout in the midst of the storm, surely you can shout in the midst of an air-conditioned church.